Okay, that's just about enough of that. It is Tuesday, it is 4:30, roughly Pacific time, which means it is time for Vancouver's preeminent mixed martial arts program, In the Cage with Bards. And unless Paul Azenby is still mad at me, I am still Carlin Bardsley. If he is, I'm changing my name to Jorge and moving to Mexico. But no time to talk about that. A lot happening. UFC 119 in the books. We've got Showdown Joe from Sportsnet joining the program, and he's going to drop some MMA knowledge like it's heavy. But let's talk about UFC 119 for a second. It was the debut card in Indianapolis for UFC. And despite the hometown favorites holding their own, the main events left some people feeling a little empty. Frank Mir and Mirko Krokop clashed in a battle of heavyweights trying to reestablish themselves in the division. But for the majority of the fight, neither really did anything to stand out before Mir landed a late knee to Krokop's head to end the fight 4-0-2 into the third round. The fight largely saw the two fighters circling each other with neither pressing the action, and Herb Dean restarting the fighters more than once for inaction in the clinch position. Post-fight, Mir admitted he was disappointed with his performance, and he wasn't the only one. UFC president Dana White didn't award the customary $70,000 knockout of the night bonus, despite Mir's victory being the only knockout on the card. White also remarked that, "To talk the stuff he does and then fight like he fought, that's a little frustrating. Once Krokop stuffed his takedown attempt, his heart fell out on the floor. If Frank Mir can't bully you, his heart shrinks to the size of the Grinch's. If he can't take you down, his heart shrinks to the size of a pea." Not a good thing to have your boss talking about you like that, although I all of a sudden want to see a graphic of Frank Mir with the little Grinch heart thing. Someone's got, on the internet's got to be able to make that. In the semi-main event, light heavyweight prospect Ryan Darth Bader continued his march up the rankings, notching a decision win against Pride veteran Antonio Rogério Nogueira, and furthering talk of a showdown between Bader and fellow prospect John Bones Jones. Bader showed improved striking and endurance to pace himself to a victory, while Nogueira's UFC career looks to need a shot in the arm as he is coming off his second straight disappointing performance, the previous being, of course, the somewhat controversial decision victory over Jason Brills. On the bright points, in Indianapolis native Chris Lights Out Lytle is never one to back away from the fight, and he put on a show for his hometown fans, defeating former welterweight champ Matt the Terra Serra by decision in a highly entertaining bout. Both men kept the action on the fight and exchanged frequently, and erasing the memory of their lackluster first meeting at the Ultimate Fighter Season 4 Finals. In the co-winner of the fight of the night, Sean Sherk was awarded a decision victory over Adam Dunham that confused spectators and Dana White alike. Sherk looked to have won the first round with takedowns and an elbow that left a nasty gash on Dunham's forehead. But as the fight went on, Dunham was landing more and more strikes and was able to evade Sherk's notoriously short T-Rex arms. And when the fight ended, Sherk appeared dazed and much worse for the wear. But as we see, whenever Cecil Peoples is judging a fight, you never know what's going to happen. Bruce Buffer read the scorecards to a shocked crowd, announcing Sherk the winner by a split decision. Dana White immediately took to Twitter after the fight, stating that Dunham was robbed and that judging effing sucks. No argument there. The main card was rounded out by another lightweight tilt and another controversial decision, as Melvin Gallard outpointed Jeremy Stevens to gain the split decision victory. The fight had been hyped as a potential fight of the night going in, but with the fight heading into the third round, Gallard chose to spend most of the round on his bicycle and ride out the clock. After the fight, Gallard made it known that he wants to fight Japanese legend Takanori the Fireball Kid Gomi next. Highlights from the prelims saw C.B. Dolloway win submission of the night by tapping out Winnipeg's Joe Dirksen in the first round. Halifax's T.J. Grant won a decision over Julio Paulino. And Indy hometown favorite Matt Mitrione defeated Joey the Mexicutioner Beltran by decision, and then proceeded to fire his manager immediately afterwards for not getting him enough in sponsorship money. I actually wish more fighters would do that. It makes for great TV. When we return, Sportsnet's own Showdown Joe Ferraro will be joining the program and letting us know what's what. Stay tuned.
Guests are on time. Everyone's out to have fun and to help others fun.
What's the matter? Doesn't that sound exciting to you?
UBC students have an alternative. Looking to unwind? Check out one of the sub's two licensed establishments.
Pit Pub and Burger Bar is home of the famous Pit Night. Relax with great prices on cold beer and lots of big screen HD TVs, or chow down on charbroiled burgers, beer battered fish and chips, and Belgian fries. The pit is open 7 days a week, and Wednesday through Saturday is open late until 2 a.m. This business is owned and operated by the AMS, your student society.
Stunts.
Stunts. And let me show you. For instance, if I get somebody around the neck like this. Excuse me.
All right.
Yeah, well, that's just a few. You'll see. It's sabotage because I've been trained.
Okay, coming out of Sabotage by the Beastie Boys, that was the walkout song for Evan Dunham Saturday night, who I'm sure felt a little sabotaged himself, but suffice to say, it was a fun fight to watch nonetheless. We are joined now by Sportsnet's own Showdown Joe Ferraro. How are you, Joe?
Not bad, yourself?
Doing quite well, thank you very much. What did you think of this past Saturday's fights?
Well, it's always one of those cards that people complain beforehand, and then when they actually watch it, they see some really good fights. So, I mean, you mind if that main event? I called it a dud on purpose on MMA Connected. It was pretty boring, and I'm very, very. I'm one of those guys that never complains about any sort of fight because there's always some sort of intricacies that perhaps will make it a boring fight or not very exciting. But it was pretty bad until the very end when Frank Mir nailed him with the knee to the face to Krokov's head, so it knocked him down, knocked him out, sort of thing. But overall, I had no problem with the card. I really liked the Sean Sherk, Evan Dunham fight, although albeit it was quite a robbery, and Dunham should have won that fight.
Yeah, I couldn't believe, I mentioned it before, when Cecil Peoples is judging, does that guy just not know how to watch a fight, or what can we do to get that guy out of the chair?
it's one of those things. I mean, I actually was taking Big John McCarthy's judging course this weekend in Toronto, and we actually talked about Cecil Peoples, and he was kind of not very complimentary, but not very insulting to Cecil Peoples, saying that, you know what, he's still trying to learn, at least he's trying to get better, but for some odd reason, it's almost like it's consistent that whenever there's controversy, you know, Cecil Peoples is definitely one of the judges that's part of it. There's another one, Glenn Trowbridge, as well. It's one of those situations at times where it's like, you know, what exactly are you watching? And maybe you're looking for the wrong things and you're scoring the wrong elements of the fight. And, you know, it's there's a reason why these courses are now out there to educate people and to make sure that commissions themselves are licensing people that understand the intricacies of mixed martial arts, the various moves, techniques, submissions, takedowns, and defenses, as well as what to look for based on the unified rules of mixed martial arts. And there's some judges out there that just don't see it, don't get it, and shouldn't be licensed to judge right now.
As Cecil has said out loud and in the press that he doesn't think leg kicks should count. I mean, how does a guy like that keep getting approved by the commission?
It's sort of ironic when a guy like Cecil Peoples says something like that because, you know, he does have a martial arts background. He's got a kickboxing background. And if you've ever felt a leg kick, and I've felt my fair share, believe me, they hurt. And yeah. that always goes back to that fight that he judged with Mauricio Shogun Hua and Lyoto Machida, their very first mm-hmm. fight at UFC 104.
Yeah.
And those leg kicks really made, Machida pay. When he came to the post-fight press conference, he was definitely limping, and Shogun really won that fight as well.
Absolutely. Well, as long as you're here, why don't we talk about you for a second? What drew you first and foremost to the sport of mixed martial arts?
It happened way back in 1993. '93, I believe it was. When Royce Gracie tapped out Ken Shamrock with his gi and put in a rear naked choke on him, and I was sitting there with some friends and realized, you know, I had a bit of a boxing background, a little bit of kickboxing, and really small amounts of wrestling. And I said, you know, what's going on here? What's happening with this little small Brazilian guy that's tapping out all these bigger fighters? And I remember sitting there with my friends as the UFC has continued to come on pay-per-view, and my pals were like, you can't win a fight like that. I said, well, yes, he is. He's choking these guys out, and he's tapping them out with an armbar or this or that. So obviously something's going on here, so I want to learn. What is it that he's doing? And I quickly found out where I could find a Brazilian jiu-jitsu school, and I started taking Brazilian jiu-jitsu and started mixing it with my own boxing and my own striking, and then just fell in love with the sport. I wanted to go pro. My body wasn't able to handle the rigors of training. I spent more time off the mats than on the mats. So I decided I need to figure out something else, and how do I get into this? And I ended up opening a clothing and boxing line called Showdown Fightwear and Showdown Boxing, hence the name Showdown Joe. That's where it came from. And you start sponsoring fighters and events. From there, I met promoters. Promoters asked me to do some color commentating. They really liked it. Before you know, I had a radio show and now a TV show.
Excellent. What led to you getting your shot on the Fan 590? Was it your work previously with the UCC in Montreal? How did that come about?
Yeah, it was all the stuff, the relationships that I built up from working with the UCC and TKO and then Freedom Fight and Apex and then Hardcore Championship Fighting. Along the lines, you know, you start meeting, you meet your Chuck Liddells, you meet your Randy Couture's, and one of the things, when you work for a mainstream radio station or TV station, it's all about your contacts. Who do you know? Can you get a story? Can you get a comment? And I said, yeah, you know, if I could, you know, if you need me to pick up the phone and call these guys for a comment or something, I can do that. And from there, they just did some research on me, and they were happy. They put me on the Fan 590 through a mutual friend that I have with a bunch of different people from the Rogers Corporation. And he's now a very good friend of mine, because thanks to him, my career took off. His name is Sandro Belfilio. He's a VP within the Rogers organization. And from there, we talked to Nelson Newman, who was the program manager at the time and the VP. And he said, yeah, you start next Thursday. And from there, it just blossomed.
Excellent. We're getting a little bit of feedback on the line, Joe. I don't know if you're standing close to a speaker or not, but...
sitting on my couch on the TV here.
There we go. All right. Now, it was the radio show that got you noticed by Sportsnet, correct?
Yeah, it was the radio show that with Sportsnet was looking for an MMA analyst and just so happened to be under the Rogers umbrella, and they were down the road from each other. They made that phone call to Nelson. Nelson said, yep, I got a guy here right here for you.
Now, obviously, you're living every MMA fan's dream. What's your favorite part about doing Connected and the radio show?
Every day I wake up, and you know, the minute I wake up, my pot of coffee is already made there. I pour myself a coffee, open up my laptop, and I search about 30 different websites, and I get to just review and analyze, watch fights nonstop, and then I get to talk about it on the radio and TV show. That's by far the best part. The travel is wonderful. It does take me away from my family every so often, but it's a good break from life sort of thing. You know, get through the monotony. Mm-hmm. I get to be there with the UFC events and then just with the fighters and get to cover the greatest sport on the face of the earth. And I'm just glad I got in when I did. And it's only going to blow up from here.
Absolutely. Who are some of your favorite MMA personalities to interview? Who are guys that just kind of, you know, make every interview come alive for you?
That's a good question. Some guys don't like Forrest Griffin. Forrest Griffin was one guy originally that I never used to like to interview, but now he's one of my favorites because he sort of let his guard down. You never know where you're going to go with a Forrest Griffin interview. If you've got four or five questions ready to go talking about either this fight or something that's coming up, you won't even stick to the topic. Amir Sadala was one of my favorites. Amir Sadala is one of those guys that, I mean, he will have you in stitches laughing. There's so many other ones. Randy Couture is a really good analyst, as is Kenny Florian. Frank Mir is a really good analyst. When you start breaking down fights with these guys, there's so many. And, of course, everyone knows Twinkle Toes Frank Trigg. And you put Frank Trigg and I together on a set or with two microphones, and you never know what's going to happen.
On the flip side of that, why does everybody I've ever spoken to in the world of mixed martial arts seem to hate Josh Koscheck?
Well, Josh Koscheck's understood that, you know what, there's nothing he can do now that's going to make it into a baby face. He's going to continue to play that heel. I know there's a whack of MMA personalities and fans that don't like the wrestling terms. That's the best way to describe a guy like Josh Koscheck. He did what he did on the very first Ultimate Fighter season, and from there he was labeled. And no matter what he did, no matter how hard he tried, he just consistently kept getting booed. And then it hit him one day. He's like, you know what? If this is how it's going to be, well, then I'm just going to amp this up, and I'm going to take this to the next level. Now, there's tons of Josh Koscheck fans. Don't get me wrong, but there are far more Josh Koscheck haters. And he's you know, embraced that role. And for him, it's as long as he's fighting, as long as he's getting paid, as long as people are tuning in to watch, then he's doing his job.
Fair enough. We've had Jason McDonald on the program, who had great things to say about you, and the two of you seem to have some good chemistry when he's been on the MMA Connected show. Could we see an MMA equivalent to Coach's Corner featuring the two of you eventually?
Yeah, well, we have what's called a fight school, which we sort of show exactly what's happening inside of a cage or ring, how to be, how to look at an offensive and defensive perspective. I did a bunch of fight schools with Jason, mm-hmm. and they were absolutely amazing. But Jason's one of those guys that he's another analyst, and he's a guy that isn't afraid to speak up and say what he has to say. I'm one of those guys that I'll give you my opinion, but I'll kind of make it more or less politically correct so that, you know, here's what I think, but don't be surprised if that happens. Well, mm-hmm. Jason is completely the opposite. Jason's going to say, here's what I think, and here's why this fighter screwed up, and here's why this fighter sucks, and here's why this fighter, you know, needs to rethink his career. That's the one really good thing about Jason. On top of that, he's an exceptional middleweight. He's an unbelievable fighter, and he's one of those guys that's just got time for everyone, got time for the fans, his own family. He's a great guy that balances the schedule, and just an overall nice guy and a great ambassador for the sport.
I couldn't agree more. Now, you've been known as a tireless proponent of the regulation of the sport in Ontario. How elated were you when the government there finally decided to come around and agree to sanction the sport?
I'm honestly still trying to put words, trying to describe that feeling. Imagine chasing something for 12 years, and then it finally happened. It's finally done, and it's a big blur. It's like, oh wow, it actually happened. This is really good. It's going to be for real. So we'll see what happens next year in 2011 when the actual rules. There's still some work that needs to be done here in Ontario to make sure everything gets done properly. But once it happens, it'll definitely be a dream come true. And there's only a handful of people that have ever experienced what I've experienced. And I try and talk to different people that have achieved a goal or that have achieved something so major in their life that, you know, it's not going to impact me for the rest of my life. Even though it's going to happen in Ontario, it opens up the whole country in terms of different country or different provinces and cities. They're not going to sanction MMA, so it's great for the whole country, and it's just, you know, I'm elated, to say the least.
Do you think Ontario's action will prompt BC to get our collective butts in gear on the issue?
Well, you would hope so. You would hope, I mean, these politicians do sort of pay attention to what's happening across the country. I mean, the event that happened in Vancouver, that sort of opened up the eyes here in Ontario to say, wait a second, these things are happening in Montreal, they're happening in Vancouver, that's the second Canadian city that's doing it, now there's a WEC that happened in Edmonton. You know, I think we're missing the boat here. So eventually the politicians realize, hey, you know what, we should follow suit here. Why are they doing it and why are we not doing it? I think the same thing is going to happen in Vancouver, especially in the city of Vancouver. When you get the right politicians in there, the changes are going to be made, hopefully for the right reason. And above all, you know, we all want to see it sooner than later, especially me, because I absolutely loved going to Vancouver. It was my first time there, and it's arguably my favorite city to now travel to. So I do want to come back on a more frequent basis. Call that greedy if you like, but I definitely want to come back to Vancouver for a UFC event or even just for a pleasurable vacation. But at the same time, as time goes on, all these older bureaucrats and all these older guys that have problems with mixed martial arts are going to be replaced by the next generation of people that grew up watching mixed martial arts. So the decision makers, not just as politicians or bureaucrats, but also on the corporate level for various companies, they're the ones that are going to want to support mixed martial arts on a whole because they grew up watching it and they're fans of the sport.
So basically we just have to wait for the dinosaurs to die off, is that what you're saying?
Well, there's a lot of dinosaurs here in Ontario as well, and I just tell these guys all the time, if every time they try and confront me or debate with me in terms of mixed martial arts, whether they get it or they don't, I mean, dinosaurs end up in museums, so it's mm-hmm. just a matter of time before these museums open up and accept these dinosaurs.
Mm. You were mentioning at Big John's courses earlier. You've taken Big John's refereeing course, and you're a certified referee, correct?
Correct.
Could we see Showdown Joe keeping law and order in the octagon?
I don't know about in the octagon. I've been offered numerous commissions across North America to come in and either ref some fights and now judge some fights. I don't think I'll ever be a referee. That's a very difficult job. I generally get challenged, and when people challenge me, I generally accept the challenge. So we'll see about refereeing. I wouldn't mind judging a fight. I've judged before when I was with UCC. We did a show in Hawaii. I judged the full card in Hawaii. The only problem was every single fight was stopped before the end of regulation time. So I wouldn't mind judging a very controversial fight just to see if I could actually do it in real time and for real. But in terms of refereeing in the octagon, I don't think Dana White wants me in the octagon. He'll probably pick on me too much, so he probably won't do that.
Okay, hypothetical situation for you here. You and Mauro Ranallo enter the same room at the same time. Who stops talking first?
It'd probably be me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not quite as loquacious as our friend Mauro?
Mauro's a great broadcaster. He's got a gift that I definitely don't have. He's one of those guys that can, you know, he really shines. You put a microphone in front of him. I'm one of those guys that just, you know, pass it over to me. I'll give you my opinion, but then I'll pass it back to an expert like him.
I noticed on your website that you've got Sapporo as a sponsor. So do you get free beer anytime you mention them on the air?
No, I don't get free beer. Unfortunately, I don't get free anything from any of the sponsors that we have on any of the TV, radio, or even on my website. But, you know, I wish they would maybe give me a case so when I have some friends over, I can support them with some of their drinking habits. But no, I don't get any freebies. I think they pay enough to sponsor some of the shows and the, you know, be it radio or television and website. So I don't ask for freebies. I'm one of those guys. I'm blessed to have the job that I have. And, you know, sometimes it's one of those beggars don't be choosers sort of things.
Well, that's a very politically correct way to approach it. Do you think I could get free beer if I sent them a copy of this show?
You never know. You might.
In that case,
Let's go. Hook them up.
Yeah, I would just like to say that I love Sapporo, which is a very, very tasty beer. At any rate. All right. Showdown Joe Ferraro every week on MMA Connected on Sportsnet, of course, on the Fan 590 as well. Anything else you want to plug on the way out, Joe?
That's perfect. Thank you very much. If for people that want to follow me, just follow me at twitter.com/ShowdownJoe. You can check out my Facebook at Showdown Joe Ferraro. And any other news from Sportsnet or the Fan 590, you can catch it on my site. My site itself, showdown.ca.
Thank you so much for joining us, Joe. It's been a slice. Hopefully we can have you back again sometime.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Okay, we'll be back right after this.
Wednesday mornings on CITR from 8 to 10 a.m. It's the Suburban Jungle Show with your radio host, DJ Jack Velvet. Thrills, chills, excitement, and music. That's the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can also catch this show, streaming and podcast, at www.jackvelvet.net. Don't miss the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesdays 8 to 10, 101.9 FM, CITR.
Time you need to leave. Oh.
that is The View From Here. That was By the Sword by Slash, who was actually playing in the Commodore Ballroom this week. And I do not have tickets, so to donate to the cause or hook a brother up or do whatever you need to do, you can do so at www.facebook.com/inthecagewithbards. And you can also talk about anything MMA related there too, but mainly focus on the Slash tickets. Thanks again to Showdown Joe for joining us. A great guy and a class act. Hope we can have him back again soon. Stay tuned for the sports show. Until next time, the bell has sounded.